Now I want to turn our thoughts to the first chapter of Acts, verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I used this text last Sunday. I'm using it again this Sunday. Possibly I'll use it another Sunday or two. But I want to pursue the thought further of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a saint. Jesus knew our weakness, our human frailties, our human limitations. And He knew that without some special help, we wouldn't be able to make it and qualify for heaven in the end. So He said, it's needful for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go away, I'll send Him. And there are certain prescribed works for Him to do in the hearts and lives of believers, saints. It's going to take the work of the Holy Ghost in your life and mine to enable us to qualify for heaven. There's no way without that we can qualify for heaven. At the close of the little message last Sunday, I was discussing the thought of permissible things. Paul referred two different times to these permissible and lawful things. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 23, he said, all things indeed are lawful, but all things edify not. We are admonished and enjoined in God's Word to follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Our business here is to edify one another in the worship and service of the Lord. The Bible says that the body edifies itself. Edification is just a built-in in the body of Christ. It's a functional part of it. And our participating part in the body of Christ is to seek the edification one of another. Even though a thing is lawful, if it doesn't edify, leave it alone. Then in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 12, he uses the same language again, but he picks up another thought here. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. This introduces the thought that lawful things have a power about them. But Paul, that he might be able and qualified to be all things to all men, and participate with them, and that he might save some, he said, I'll not be brought under the power even of permissible things, lawful things. Things that could not be proved to be a sin, things that actually aren't a sin. But if they're a stumbling block to someone or a hindrance to you, or if you find them getting too much hold on you, that's time to dispose of them. They have a power about them. I read an incident connected with the First World War. And in this case, the United States had entered the war, and the American Expeditionary Forces had landed their first contingent of soldiers in France. France was about whipped. They were on the verge of collapse. The German army was pounding at the gates of Paris. And this contingent of American soldiers were dispatched to that area. And they took up their position with the French forces to defend Paris. There was severe machine gun fire, spattering the American forces there. For a while they couldn't locate where it was, where it was coming from, but someone discovered it was coming from a cathedral right over across the river there. So the commanding officer in charge of this American contingent, he gave orders to his men to train their guns on that cathedral and start firing. Well, the French officers there, they practically on their knees begged this man to spare that cathedral. It was a shrine. And it had been several years in building. And there were sacred works of art in there. And many things that they didn't want to lose. And they begged him to spare that cathedral and told him how many years it had been in building. And he says, it'll just take me about 12 minutes to knock it down. And he turned to his men and gave the orders for them to start firing. Well, they did. And it is just a little bit till that cathedral was a pile of rubble, but the machine gun fire had stopped. They blasted that out. Now the thought is, the cathedral was all right. Wasn't anything wrong about that. And it was used for a good purpose to worship God, but now the enemy had gotten in it. And when the enemy got in it, there was just one of two things to do, either blast it down or continue losing men over here. It's just that way in your life and mine. Some things may be permissible things and lawful things, and God's Word doesn't actually condemn some things, maybe. And maybe we go along for a considerable part of our lives with those things and enjoy the blessings of God. But if the enemy gets in there and starts taking advantage of those things, by any means, the only thing to do is just start blasting. blast them out. I related this incident some years ago in Guthrie, Oklahoma, when I was holding meeting there. And there was a man in that congregation that night that had been in the army in the Second World War. And he was in the Italian campaign. And he came up after the service, he says, I can tell you another cathedral story too. And he told me how that as they were advancing and moving up across Italy, they came to a cathedral. And the enemy was in it. Had machine gun nests and all in there. But his officers were of a different frame of mind. They wanted to spare that cathedral. So he said, we bogged down right there for weeks and sat right there in front of that thing for weeks and weeks and lost a lot of men. Finally, they decided they couldn't do anything else but to destroy it. Blast it out. So they gave the orders to attack and to destroy this seat of the enemy. Now that army lost a lot of men by trying to spare something that was a permissible something, a good something. It had its value. But they lost a lot of men trying to spare that thing. And by the time that we actually made the attack on that position, the enemy was so deeply entrenched and fortified in there, we lost a lot more men taking that place. It would have been a lot cheaper and a lot better on everybody if they had just moved right on when they were moving. When the enemy gets in anything and gets to disturbing you and creating questions in your mind about anything, it's a pretty good thing to just start blasting. Amen. And I would say this, that if you find those things hard for you to part with, they've already got more power over you than they should have. Now we'll move on to another thought. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life will give you power over your inner thoughts. He will enable you through His power to control your minds and govern your thoughts. The mind is a very important part of a person. God's Word says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your mind is going to lay out the course and chart the pattern of your life. The Holy Ghost is to give you power in your mind, to govern your mind and control your thoughts. Somebody says, I can't help what I think. Brother Madden mentioned here in one of his messages during the meeting about some problems he was having about getting some unpleasant things out of his mind and forgiving some people, and he said he went to my mother about that problem. And he'd think he had victory, but these things would just keep coming back in his mind. He said, my mother told him, says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building nests in your hair. You can resist such thoughts. I've heard my mother say that many times when I was growing up. Through her lifetime, I heard her say that time and time again. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building nests in your hair. Amen. Now, we have a text in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. And it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now God has furnished you and me with weapons to control our minds and govern our thoughts and to cast out and reject all unpleasant, unwholesome thoughts. That is a part of the operation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of saints. That's a part of His power operation to give you and me power in our minds to cast out every unpleasant and undesirable and unwholesome thought. I beg the privilege to tell you, and it's good news that I tell you, that through the power of the Holy Ghost you can help what you think. And you can bring your thinking into focus with the will of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, God made a direct approach to the mind in the plan of salvation. The devil has made a direct approach to the mind also. In the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12, he says, I will write my law in their minds and put them in their hearts. God and the devil both know that whoever controls a man's mind controls him. Amen. They're both making a direct approach to the mind. God knows the frailty of human nature and how things are going to linger in our minds that are detrimental to us, and that within the power of the human we might not be able to cast them out and put them away from us. So he sent the Holy Spirit into the world and into the hearts of believers to work this work of power in you and me, that we would be able, through the power of the Holy Ghost, to cast out every unpleasant, undesirable, and unwholesome thought. wonder how many of you feel real good and joyful and happy when you're entertaining some unkind thoughts toward somebody. Folks, that just doesn't help you. That doesn't increase your joy and victory and grace to do that. Well, then why will we? Why will we hold on to those things when they disturb us and bring depression on us and discourage us? Why will we hold on to those things? Brother Chandler brought us a message like this one time, and I never forgot this one. I never forgot several of his. But I never forgot this one. He was dealing with this very thought in the message. And it referred to the 103rd Psalm, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." And it developed the thought here that it was so much easier. I say our minds work so backward anyway. The things that would bless our souls and edify us and strengthen us and comfort us and build us up, we forget so readily. But the things that will confuse us and discourage us and cast us down and hinder us, we never forget them. Well, he developed the thought this way, that the reason that people could not remember the good things of the Lord and the blessings of God and the things that would edify and strengthen and build them up and encourage them and make them better saints was because they had their minds so cluttered up with all these other things, unpleasant thoughts, undesirable thoughts, doubtful thoughts, and all those kind of things, that it just crowded the good things out of their minds. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. When you entertain those kind of thoughts, you're robbing yourself of the ability to think the thoughts that will build you up and strengthen you. Now, God had the ability to forget that we ever sinned. Now, that takes a lot of power. But He said in the 8th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12, He says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." When God saves you and me and puts our sins under the blood of Jesus, He has the power and ability to put it clear out of His mind and forget that we ever sinned. Yeah. Amen. And He treats us just like folks that never had sinned. Now, Brother Chandler says He has that same power in you and me if we will just appropriate it and appeal for it. And if we have trouble forgetting the things that are detrimental to us, appeal to the power of God. He'll forget them in us. Amen. He'll cast them out and deliver us from them till we can forget them. Paul said, "Forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, do you suppose that was easy? Paul passed through. He gives a catalog of them there in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Or the 11th. Maybe it's the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He gives a catalog of those things, how he was shipwrecked and how he was in perils in the deep and in perils among his countrymen and in perils among the heathen and how he was in prison often. I don't know how many times he got in prison, but he said often, and in stripes often. I don't know how many times he received stripes, but he said often, being whipped every little bit, and five times, I believe he said, he received 39 stripes. That's all the law allowed. They wouldn't allow any more than that, and they just give him the full limit of the law. Well, do you think that Paul would have been able to make it and finish his course with joy and with victory and with grace and in holiness of spirit before God if he'd have just laid awake of a night mulling and worrying over those things that people had done to him and the way he'd been treated and all those things, you suppose? He come to a point where he realized he had to unload. The load would have gotten too heavy. It would have been a crushing weight on him and destroyed him if he'd just carried all them things along with him and mulled over them and grieved about how he's being treated. And even he said, as in perils amongst false brethren, that is probably the worst trial he had. Folks, you come to a point where you need to unload too. And if we just carry all these things along with us, they'll crush us and destroy us in the end. I've thought many times that if every one of us, you too, preacher, could just clear out our minds from the attic to the basement and start all over again, we'd all be better off. And how often I pray for you and me, myself and my brethren, that God will help us to cast out every undesirable, doubtful, confusing, unwholesome thought before our minds destroy us. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, to give you and me power in our minds. He said, pulling down strongholds. Well, I used to think of the strongholds as the dives and dens of sin. Honky-tonks, taverns, beer parlors, dance halls, different things. I'd think, how are we going to tear those down? God showed me very clearly one day that those things were of the world and the world was running them and we couldn't do anything about them, but the strongholds he was talking about was in the people's minds. A build-up in their minds. We have a text in Proverbs 18th chapter and the 19th verse. It says, a brother offended is harder to gain than a strong city. Well, there must be some cause for that. But what would the cause be? It's because he's got a build up in his mind about the thing that offended him, that hurt him. And every approach you make to him, he interprets it according to the way he's thinking. The build-up he's got in his mind. And you can't make any headway in such a case. You just have to lay siege to it. and wait till the siege takes effect. If you think unpleasant thoughts that disturb your mind and distract you, that's your fault. You just shouldn't have done it. If you think doubtful thoughts that undermine your faith and that hinders you in the exercise of faith for the blessings of God in your life, that's your fault. You just shouldn't have done it. God didn't give you that kind of thoughts. If you think suspicious and doubtful thoughts about your brethren, till it undermines and breaks your fellowship between you and him, that's your fault. You just shouldn't have entertained that kind of thoughts. If you think confusing thoughts till you get all confused and mixed up in your mind, you just shouldn't have done it. You didn't have to do it. God furnished you weapons to control your mind and govern your thoughts. Appeal to him. The time's run out, and we'll leave you at this point. Trust God will bless every one of us with grace and with victory to live our lives honorably and to the glory of God, and to use our minds in a way that will benefit us and benefit others. Let us stand and be dismissed. Dear Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to bless us right now. Let your blessing fall upon our minds. I have no doubt but what there are some people that have listened to my voice this morning that need deliverance from some kind of thoughts that's tearing them down, and that's confusing and discouraging them. They shouldn't be entertaining those kind of thoughts. They shouldn't be allowing the devil's birds to build nests in their hair. They should, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be rejecting and renouncing all of those detrimental thoughts out of their minds. Let there be a moving of the power of God in every one of our minds this morning, to fill our minds with the good things of God that will build us up and strengthen us and edify us, and to cast out of our minds those things to the contrary. You have furnished us with the weapons to do this. Help us to use them. And help us to appeal to the power of God to forget within us those things that we haven't been able to forget. Encourage us all. Strengthen us in your divine will and in your grace. Dismiss us from this service with your blessings upon us. Again, we ask you to bless the absent ones this morning who are sick, and visit them and administer the healing touch to their bodies. Go with us as we go from here. Stretch out your hand over us. Cover us with your mercies. Grant each one of us safe escort to our places. Meet with us again in the service this evening at 6:30. And bless us with a good coming together tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.